Chicago. Keyshawn. This is your J-Hood. New morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
And the 2-2 coming, and a base hit to right. Tim around third will score. Abreu with a go-ahead RBI for the third straight game. It's 1-0 here in the opening inning. 1-2, grounded toward the middle, and it hits second base. Abreu will score. Sheets will move to third. It's 2-0.
Andrew Vaughn deserved that. As many balls as he's hit hard, he's over there clapping. He's all excited, like, yeah, about time something went my way.
Bent at the knees and the waist, and he pops it up. Medium depth left, Urshela tagging. Here he comes. Throw coming to the plate. He's going to be out. A.J. Pollock to Seve Zavala. That's a double play. 1-1 the count. The pitch. Driven in the air, deep left. It's a grand slam in the second level. Luis Robert opens it up. It's 6-1. Hooked into left. It's a fair ball. It'll kick off the diagonal sidewall. Tim's going to score. Moncada to third, and Robert went around first, hesitated, but when the throw went toward third, he kept on going to second. We'll see if they give him a double.
Generosity. He's got a home run, and now a double.
And five RBIs. Vaughn cranks one out toward the bullpen and left center, and that baby's gone. 9-1.
He got tired of having people rob the balls that he hits really hard in fair play, so he put it out of play.
Fly ball well hit to left. Way back there and gone. A three-run homer for Seve Zavala. It's 12-1.
How about that night for the White Sox?
Somebody cashed a same-game parlay. Take that.
And somebody won an important ball game. That's the White Sox against the Twins.
Take that.
As someone who despises the Twins because a lot of it is the Sox being the nail and the Twins being the hammer.
Yeah, can I interrupt you? You don't despise them. You're terrified of them.
And despise them. You scare. You are afraid of what you fear.
Yes.
Right?
I've been doing this show now. It'll be coming up on 2 years with you, and every time they play, it's like, Hoodie's like terrified. Oh, God, the Twins again. I'm like, relax, it's the Twins.
You can tell by the twitch that I have when the Twins come into town. The eye twitch, of course.
Correct.
Of course, man. You feel good when you're able to beat a team that's been drubbing you for a long time.
Correct.
And so for the Sox to be able to win, that was a good night for me, to be able to watch the Sox be able to get their comeuppance. Now I got to keep the momentum going into the All-Star break.
So there was a lot to unpack from that game last night because I thought you got a heroic effort out of Johnny Cueto. So the end of the fifth, he's at 100 pitches, 102 or whatever. Stoney goes, well, that'll end Johnny Cueto's night, but a really good night for Johnny Cueto. And I'm watching. I'm like, that's Johnny Cueto still out there. And you could see in the dugout, like he was lobbying, we found out after the game. Hey, I'm not done. I'm not some 22-year-old kid you paid a huge signing bonus to you're protecting. I'm pitching. Tony let him go back out. 116-pitch outing? Yeah, 116?
118.
118.
74 for strikes.
And 74 strikes out of 118 is like, oh, my God. Like, you don't want to be much higher because guys then could dig in because they know everything's around the plate. Mm-hmm. But he made big pitches and big spots. Buxton gets a triple, and they strand him. Now, can you explain to me why Rocco Baldelli did not challenge the first play at the plate? Because had that been Tony, there would be people with pitchforks walking down State Street.
I thought that was odd, too. I thought it was odd, too.
He was on top of the plate when he got tagged.
Yeah, I thought that was an odd play, too. If that was Tony, yes, that would have been our lead this morning, for sure. But I will tell you this about Cueto. Out of all of this, you know, the injuries and ineptitude and watching this ball club underachieve at 44-45, out of everything that's been going on, Cueto's been a savior for this team. I mean, think about it. Six innings pitched, seven hits, surrenders a run. And Chris Kempke had this on Twitter. So Cueto, with nine quality starts out of 11 starts this season. Coming into the season, he had nine quality starts in his last 43 starts. Think about that. Nine out of 11 quality starts for the White Sox this season. Before that, he had nine and 43 starts. This guy here, the more he shimmies, the more he's twisting there on the mound, the more deceptive that he can be. He's keeping the Sox in games. Boy, that's what you like. That's when you think that you could be living a charm season, right? Usually you get this from the offense. But you get this from your fifth starter, where he's giving you quality starts time and time again. Hats off to Cueto, a guy that you thought was at the tail end, kind of a throw-in, we'll see what happens. No, this guy actually is keeping you in ball games. So not only did the Sox win, but Cueto gave the Sox a good shot in the arm.
Do you know when he signed? April 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't here till May.
Yeah.
If you had to name the MVP right now today of the White Sox team, who is it?
Well, I mean, Cueto's in that category because Cueto's been relatively healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, so we're talking about the guys that's been available. It's hard to find one because there's been so many guys that's been either with COVID or on the injured list. So, like, I can't even give that to Liam Hendricks because he's missed time as well. I can't even give it to him because he's missed time. I mean, what about Abreu?
That's who I give it to.
Mm-hmm.
Abreu. I'm going to have a name on there that's going to shock you. Abreu, T.A.
Josh Harrison.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Reynaldo Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
That dude's come in high leverage and pitched his arse off. Yes, not saying he is the MVP, but he's in the team photo. But for me, it's Jose Abreu.
When you looked at Lopez, you thought, man, as this guy could be a starter for the future, and it just didn't work out with him being a starter. But in a pinch, when you need him to come in the bullpen, gives you an inning and a third, and does a really nice job, especially over the last, 5-10 ball games, Lopez has kept you in the game. He's there to specifically get you a hold. To hold the lead, and so he's been able to do that. So hats off to him as well. You don't think your MVP would come from the bullpen.
You do not, but he's played a huge role. Did you see in the ninth inning, right at the end of the game, so a little tapper in front of the plate. I think it was Jose Ruiz was pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And the batter for the Twins, I can't remember who the batter was, stands like right in front of the plate. And Seve Zavala can't get to the ball. Mm-hmm. And the umpire calls him out. And Seve Zavala, there's audio of him going, "Get the F out of the way." Remember the benches started to empty a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The White Sox are feisty. I like it.
So it happens when you win. Amazing how that happens, right? How the narrative changes.
Yep.
How the Nightingale piece is set to the side when you win. We were talking about this, Cap, is that when you're able to be successful and you win, all of a sudden people are not talking about a division in the clubhouse. We saw good times. People wearing the lampshade in that dugout yesterday. Because why? Because they bludgeon the Twins. That's why you were able to see some smiles and some good times and some personality in there. When you saw the big home run by Robert, the grand slam on Sonny Gray, and by the way, I will attach the line drive back to the arm, the pitching arm of Gray, to that grand slam. Holy. He was never the same guy after he gets hit. I mean, a line drive right to the pitching arm.
I was shocked.
And stay in the ballgame.
Stay in the ballgame. They were going to take him out, and he's like, "No, I'm good." He was not good.
Not the same.
Walk, grand slam, and the grand slam's the third straight slider he tried to throw. That ball was right, I mean, bam. Right in the middle.
So you know it's a really big time, big fly when it disappears off the TV. It's above the second level, past the fans, onto some concourse back there.
Correct. You saw there was one dude in a Sox jersey, one dude in a Twins jersey.
Running.
running after it.
It's like, so it's above the fans, down some kind of concourse they have there, yeah, by the hot dogs or wherever that is. I was like, that's a big fly. That's, yeah, huge.
So yesterday on our show, by the way, I just retweeted the audio of Sebi Zavala going, get the F out of my way.
Yes.
There's a great Twitter follow by a guy named, it's at JCUDA, Jay Cuda. Mm-hmm. He posts about White Sox and MLB statistics. He's a stat head. He's a good follow. I highly recommend it. He posted, I retweeted. The audio's really good because Sebi Zavala is like, hey, out of my,
yeah,
F out of my way.
I like that.
It was really good. So
he had a big home run, too.
He did.
In the ninth.
Yesterday, on the Waddle and Sylvie show, it's always entertaining. I was listening, and Liam Hendricks was on. And Liam Hendricks talked a lot about the clubhouse. He talked about Ozzy. He talked about a ton of stuff. Kenny Williams coming down. We're going to play some of that for you. His response to Nightingale's report that there's a lack of veteran leadership. Here he is on the response to Bob Nightingale's report that there's no veteran leadership.
Yeah, I'd love to know what his source is. I want to know if it's a former player who is currently not with us but still in the league from this year. So I'd be interested to see if where that comes from. But, yeah, obviously, if you talk to anybody in this clubhouse, they're going to give you the same answer, and it's not exactly the same verbatim answer because we all have our own feelings on it. So it's not just a scripted thing that the front office has given us. It's something that we actually truly believe in this clubhouse is the fact that we're united. We go to bat out there every single day for each other. And this is a clubhouse that has no flaws. It's not a clubhouse where everyone's going in and kind of hating each other or anything like that. It's your normal clubhouse. You're going to have days where you're a little testy. You're going to have days where you're great. And that's the ebbs and flows of this game. But there's no discord. There's no issues in this clubhouse whatsoever. There's no issues with leadership. There's no issues with cliques or people not getting along or anything like this. It's just a complete fabrication.
Could it be a former pitcher with a beard?
I mean, I think I've said enough already. But yes.
Pretty good. Pretty good. So we've got more of Liam Hendricks. You've got to hear some of his other comments, his thoughts on Ozzie Guillen, who's critical in the TV booth. By the way, great article, back page, Sun-Times today. It says, direct TV. Guillen is exactly what viewers want in an analyst, and he put it all on display this week. I love Ozzie. Love.
Let's not bury the lead in that soundbite, though. Sylvie's asking him directly, is it Dallas Keuchel?
Correct. That is correct. And I've said enough already, mm-hmm, which is yes. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing they ate the money and got him out. Like, on one side of town, Jason Hayward's beloved in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Keuchel, not so much. Bad signing. Bad signing. Anyway, 312-332-3776. How much better would you feel about the first half if the Sox take 3 or 4 or better in this series? Erase all the issues you've got?
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah.
And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Richard Cuevas is the Hawthorne Prize Package winner. Congrats to Richard Cuevas.
Sidebar, may I approach?
You may. Brought to you by Enken Law, 312-6 million for the great Howard Enken. Put that lawyer in your phone.
Sign my ball. New commercial, by the way, with two Sky players for my guy here.
Yes, Courtney Vandersloot and Allie Quigley, who mm-hmm actually live near me.
Yes, both of them. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, and by the way, shout out to the Sky. Stayed up because so you didn't have to. Nice win against Los Angeles. Beat the Aguma case, both of them.
Yeah, like 75-68.
Beat them, knocked them down. Bam. They're on a roll. They're on a roll.
Take that.
And covered the 5.5. Nonetheless, let me tell you a little bit about about Tiger Woods. You and I are watching the Open. It's so cool to see live sports while we do the morning show.
It's the best.
I mean, I can understand the guys in the afternoon, Waddle and Sylvie or Black and Abdallah, they always have live sports in front of them, right? Mm-hmm. But you and I are able to see what's happening in Scotland here, and we're updating the leaderboard. Dustin Johnson's 9-under, brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, our PGA Tour leaderboard. I'm watching Tiger Woods, and you and I are looking up there and seeing Tiger Woods struggle. Cap, you know, when Tiger Woods was really charging, when the guy was just taking the sport by the short and curlies, I mean, he was unstoppable. Jordan-level success.
Yes.
Doesn't matter if you're a golf fan or not. You just look at a guy that's succeeding in the sport. I don't want to see him struggling like this. That's sad. When you see someone at the mountaintop, I don't want to see them fall. I'm just speaking for me as a sports fan. Some can't wait for the fall. They want to be able to see what's underneath the hood. They want to find out what's happening. I just want to see greatness. So that way, I'll always remember, hey, who's the greatest golfer you've ever seen? Jack Nicklaus, but then here comes Tiger Woods, right?
Mm-hmm. Hold my beer.
Right? That's what I... So it's the same thing with Ali, right? You remember Ali. Now, the first heavyweight champion I remember because... I'm an 80s baby, was Larry Holmes. I saw Ali toward the end, Ali with the mustache, right? Toward the end, 79, 80. But I was a kid watching with my dad, watching boxing, because that's the thing that bonded us. It was baseball and boxing, because that was popular back then. The Saturday afternoon fights, you know, on NBC. And so I watched Ali, but Holmes was the guy. But I didn't want to see Ali get beat down. I just know he had a big mouth and that the guy had a gift to gab. And people respected him and loved him, but you don't want to see him go down like that. Guys like him, Ricky Henderson, right? Mm-hmm. All-time stolen base leader at the time. When I was watching him, I'm like, wow, look how great this guy is. You know, I think he might have finished his career in the minors. He just kept playing the game.
He was playing for, like, the Brooklyn team.
I believe that's correct. You don't want to see someone go down that way. So when I see Tiger Woods, I don't know how many years he's going to continue to play, especially on these majors. But if he's not in the mix, Cap, when he's down in the 70s or 80s, that's sad.
Yeah, he's...
How does that hit you as a sports fan?
I mean, if you tell me that... Look, he's only a little over a year removed from a near-fatal car crash that crushed both legs. Okay. He needs some time. He's got to heal. He's got to get his body right. But he's 46 years old. Like, how much longer can he keep trying to do this?
Unless he's a part of, you know, the seniors tour at some point. I don't know. How do you have to be to qualify for that?
I think he's eligible now.
He can do it now if he wants to, huh?
I think so.
But on tournaments like
he's
this.
He's only one over today. He's 7 over for the tournament.
That's horrible. he's having a hard time. Now, you know, part of the Tiger Woods allure is that... There's been struggling times, but he was able to find a way to charge back.
I'm amazed how far the ball rolls on these courses.
So when I think about athletes like Tiger Woods, I always think, man, I just want to see you be able to be on top. Same thing with Tom Brady. A perfect example is Tom Brady.
You're afraid that there's going to be a day where Tom Brady is just going to be, wow, he looks like he's 70.
You had 3 or 4 times to write your own chapter, to write the end of your own book, and you just keep... testing fate. Why do you keep doing that? At some point, there's going to be that one vital hit, and that'll be the end of Tom Brady. All of a sudden, now the chapter will be rewritten, like, Brady's great. Oh, my God, the one hit. You don't want to see that.
Correct.
I know it makes him happy, but legacy should matter in sports. At some point, it's like, man, I'm the greatest of all time. People keep telling me that. What else do I have to prove? Unless you just don't want to be around your family.
He loves the chase. He said, it's not the game, it's the chase to get there. He loves it.
But how often can you chase, though?
Yeah. Hoodie, he's my favorite quarterback of all time. I've said for a long time what you're saying now, where, like, the pick six in New England, I knew he wasn't retiring on that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes to Tampa, and I'm like, this could get nasty. He wins the Super Bowl. I'm like, dude, walk away. That's your moment right there. Now he's unretiring and coming back. I get a little nervous because my thing with Brady is that's the greatest to ever do it. I don't want to have to see him look like Grandpa Simpson. And time comes for everybody. I know he's defied it for a very long time, but it will eventually come. I don't need to see him out there like Grandpa Simpson. I want to remember Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. I don't want to go out on top. There's a lot to be said for knowing your exit.
Okay, and what if Tom Brady says to you, I really don't give a flying F what you want. I want to keep playing.
Well, and it's totally possible that he's just going to go out and be the best quarterback in football again, which, listen,
maybe
more
he,
power to
even
him.
If he's not, if he's bad, he says, I enjoy playing. You want to retire? You retire.
Well,
I'm not.
He wouldn't say that because he's long said when he sucks, he's done.
All I'm saying to you is if he is very, very mediocre and he says, good, Shay, you don't want to watch? Don't watch. I enjoy playing.
So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm giving my opinion. I don't care what he says, really. My thought on it is I don't want to see it. I don't want to see the greats look like that.
Yeah, see? I get it.
So what do you think?
It's different today because of training and the techniques and the therapies and everything. The surgeries are so much better. I hope guys keep playing as long as they possibly can, but not when they embarrass themselves. Like, I have no interest in retiring as a broadcaster. None. None. Like, I still have to work. I got responsibilities. I got overhead. But if you said to me, I'm 77 years old and I'm trying to hang on and do it, and I can't remember, I can't speak, I don't want to be a punchline. I don't want to be some guy that are like, boy, that guy can't even put a coherent sentence together.
It's Marv Albert, who, no disrespect, one of the greats to ever do it. But those last 5 years were tough.
COVID and doing it from a studio also did not help. He used to being in an arena.
He needs the energy.
The sound, the energy. It's hard for him to do it in an isolated at home in his den.
Agreed.
It was hard for him.
Bob in Deerfield. Hey, Bob, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
We're great.
Hey, Bob.
First thing, I got two questions. What he just said, Tom Brady, is he still the top 10 quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's not even talk retirement. First, have the bad year, and then let's see what he does. Okay, going on to what I wanted to talk about, though. So I agree with you that people do play too long. But when you mentioned Ricky Henderson, Muhammad Ali was still getting, at that time, $6-8 million a fight, which was big money, and he loved the camera. Ricky was playing for these minor league teams. You wouldn't know it if they didn't tell you. He did it because he just loved the game. He wasn't getting paid money. He wasn't in cameras. He just loved to play the game. So he's a different animal.
It's a great point. He was not playing for the cash. He was playing because he loves playing
He wasn't even playing for the camera. He was playing in these little small towns just because he didn't want to walk away, but no one would sign him in the major leagues or minors. So he went further.
Great point.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. Bye. Yeah, like there's a few ex-major leaguers in that men's senior baseball league that I played in last year.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there's a guy in left field for one of the teams. He played 9 years for the Tigers. He's 64 years old. Why are you still playing against a bunch of guys like us?
He said, I love it.
Because I love baseball. I get up. I have a reason to come out here and play.
Wasn't Manny Ramirez like 45 playing in Japan?
He was. I would agree with you, Shay, in this regard. Well, if someone played at a very high level, a championship level, I have in my mind's eye how great that player was, and I don't want to see the decline.
I get
That's
it.
That's all.
I get it.
Same thing
it's
with
like
Tiger
Jordan
Woods.
Jordan on the Wizards. Nobody wanted to see Jordan on the Wizards. He had the perfect exit, and it's really the way we all remember him anyway, is that game six in the finals, that final shot. That's really his exit. Jordan on the Wizards, though, nobody needed that.
You know, he still averaged 20 points a game.
He was still so good.
If he had
when you go back and look, he was still so good.
You know, if Jordan had players around him, you know, he probably would have had a nice playoff run there with the Wizards.
That would have been amazing.
If he didn't have Brendan Haywood in the post.
That would have been Kwame Brown. That would have been amazing. By the way, MJ on Twitter, the crumble cookie place you were talking about, they just opened a new one in Naperville right next door to a dispensary. Two birds, one stone. Get lit up and go get your cookies. It's pretty good. You'd love these cookies. What's your favorite kind of cookie? Chocolate chip or what?
Yeah, that's good.
But if you had to pick one?
Chocolate chip, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not an oatmeal raisin. I'm not a raisin guy. Mm-hmm. Chocolate chip? Oh, boy.
Yeah, chocolate chip would work.
Yeah, that's a weakness for me. Jesse Rogers, our baseball insider and my vacation buddy. Next.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come, and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
So we are inside 2 weeks of the Bears back to work.
I can't go on, Cap. Sorry. You'll have to carry this one. We just saw history.
We did.
You're just laughing. We saw something sad up there at the screen. You're laughing.
He's taking a lot of joy in this today, Woody. It's a little too much joy.
I don't understand why. We just saw.
I'm not taking joy.
With my friend,
You got the widest smile I've ever seen.
He's so happy. Because Woody was doing play-by-play.
Don't worry about what I was doing.
In a Scottish brogue, as Tiger Woods had to walk up this one.
Oh, God. Like,
I don't know. They had the tiny little railing. He gets up there. Now he's got to go up these metal stairs across a catwalk back down the other side.
Oh, God.
You can tell he's in agony. Everyone wants to hug him.
What is going on with your headphones right now, by the way? Only our Twitch viewers can see this.
Like Sylvie. He's got the one on, one off there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like way above his head. Sylvie just puts the one behind his ear. Cap's got it so his head's like an extra 4 inches tall.
Like that.
It's like Sylvie. I said, Sylvie, why do you only wear one headphone?
Because it's like a phone call when I'm on the air.
Like, oh, really?
Well, you don't have two headphones on when you're on a phone call. I'm like, okay, that's bizarre.
Very.
How far have these two come, Hoodie? Cap, they wouldn't speak to each other. Now they did this spring trading thing, and Cap's imitating his headphones.
Well, here's what's happening here, and everyone doesn't know it, but I know it. There's money in this rivalry. There's money to be made. I understand what's happening here. This is why, worst friends, better enemies, whatever it is, whatever that expression is, they're going to make money together. That's why this is happening. But my point is that right here, Cap, right over your shoulder, right here, the sadness of Tiger Woods leaving. He is done. The bald head, the tip of the cap, knowing that this is the end. I'm calling it right now. He'll never see Scotland again.
No.
The hugging, it's all over. 10 over, he finishes. Brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
That's my play-by-play partner. That's Terry Gannon on the call there.
I recognize Terry.
Yeah.
A jacket three times too big for him.
That's correct.
And a terrible tie.
He's from Joliet.
All right, here we go.
We're going to get to the Bears in just a second, but are we certain? Like, Tiger's retiring. The walk-off there, he's retiring.
I can't say he's retiring, but I don't think you're going to see him for a while as he tries to heal his body up.
Is that a shot or no shot?
Feels like an impromptu shot or no shot. That looked like a retirement.
It's a no shot. He'll return, but I don't think he'll ever play at the Open again. He's tired of the steps. No railings to help him up and down. No one helping him out of those coffin bunkers. I'm not ready to die yet. Get me out of the coffin. That's what happened, Cap. We saw him take off the hat, waving of the crowd.
The bald head.
The bald head. Goodbye, everyone. I'll never return here again. Fuel up the jet. We're done. That's what I saw.
Right. I said to you, it was, I don't know what hole. 16, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, call the pilots. Get that thing fueled up. We're not having lunch. We'll eat on the plane. We're out.
18 for birdie. Lipped in and out. 4 foot. Couldn't get it done. 4 feet from the cup. He said, you know what? That's it.
That's it. I'm done.
That's it.
I'm finished.
I mean, and for once, actually, it was a good lie. In that bumpy, terrible golf course they have over there, it was actually a good lie. He just couldn't hit it. Birdie. Over. I'm done. I'm done. Bad day.
That's it.
We turn now to Shay Norling with the latest around the National Football League. Shay.
That's right. We've been trying to do this kind of all week. We were a little busy with Tony La Russa, and we were a little busy with TV sitcoms. Hey, it's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now on a Friday, it's time we get to the Bears fan survey. And I think we should answer some of these as a show. So I want to start with the first question on this survey.
Okay.
What best describes your level of confidence in the direction of the Bears franchise? In polls we trust, it's still the Bears, or I'm not buying what Poles is selling.
It's still the Bears.
Still the Bears. That's what I wrote down. I have B, still the Bears, meaning that there's still a lot to prove. Right? In Poles we trust, well, what are we trusting yet? I imagine that the Bears are going to get better and get back to the playoffs, but because we haven't even seen them on the field yet, I'll say B, still the Bears. Shay.
All right, boys. Scale of right one there. To five. How confident are you Justin Fields will be a star? One is the least confident. Five is the most confident.
I wrote down a number. Do we match?
Read the question one more time so I make sure I answer this properly.
Scale of one to five. One being the least, five being the most. How confident are you Justin Fields will be a star?
Okay, you ready? You have... Yeah, I have one through five. You ready for the number? One, two, three. I have three.
I have four.
About that?
Take that.
I'm in the middle because, again, just like polls, I need to see a full complement of games from Justin. Doesn't mean it's bad. Doesn't mean he's going to suck. Doesn't mean he's going to be great. I just need to see a full complement of games over the next couple of years to determine what we have.
Yeah, I'm at four. Four. I'm not guaranteeing it. But I feel pretty damn good he's going to be a star.
Okay, Shay.
In the same vein, do you trust general manager Ryan Poles has the right plan for Justin Fields? Yes, no, or not sure?
I don't know the plan.
Not sure.
Not sure would be the answer.
And now the final interview for Tiger Woods at the Open as he explains. Bring that up on the board, can you? Can you bring that up on the board? Do you have a button there? Let's give a listen now right. As Shay throws it to Tiger Woods here, courtesy of NBC. Go right ahead.
I don't think I have this on this board.
Oh, but for heaven's sakes, just bring it up, for God's sakes.
JR would Charlie. Put his coffee down and have it.
Charlie, wake up.
JR would find it for sure.
Charlie, help him. Charlie, go back there and find out.
I'm going to sleep. Charlie, come and put the TV on.
turn the TV on, Charlie. Hit the button.
He's writing jokes back there, Charlie, for God's sake.
Come on, bring it up. Here we go. Tiger Woods, his thoughts now, courtesy of NBC
Hoodie,
Sports.
What are we doing here?
Go right ahead. We go now to Tiger Woods. Tiger?
I don't know what source this is.
Tiger?
We need JR back here.
We turn now to Tiger Woods with his last thoughts.
Hire a child, that's what you get.
Tiger, go ahead. Cap?
Wow.
Should we go back there and turn it on for him?
You don't want me punching buttons back there.
We turn now to Tiger Woods now. From the Open. Tiger, go ahead.
All right, back to football. We'll get you that turned around. I'm sure the boys can have it for you in a week.
A week?
I can have it in a few minutes once this thing is done. I need a moment.
Charlie.
This was sprung upon me. I don't even know if JR could figure this. You would have thrown JR into a panic, actually. If it were JR back
Sal!
Here.
Sal!
I'm cutting the podcast, Sal, buddy. Sal, now Sal, you need me to
Sal,
find
Sal,
the TV.
Sal. I mean, it was all over my face.
See, JR would not have very quickly turned this around. He would be in absolute panic.
At least Shay knows this a bit. Like JR like thinks it's like life or death.
Why? I have so many things going on back here. Why?
Sal! Stearns never had to ask me this. He never asked for Tiger Woods. What's going on? Sal!
So good.
Shay.
All right, what do you got?
Sal.
What was Ryan Pohl's best offseason move? Hiring Matt Eberflus, trading Khalil Mack, shedding veteran contracts, Trevathan, Goldman, Tariq Cohen, or drafting defensive backs, Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker.
That's it. Right there. Getting a starting corner and a starting safety. Now, if they're no good, well, then that's going to be a big problem. But if they are good players, they should be here for 8 to 10 years. Yes. 7, 8 years. Locked in.
What was the first one, Shay?
Hiring Matt Eberflus.
No, I don't know. You're convinced
no,
that's the right guy?
No, one of the options.
Yeah, that's definitely not it.
Boring. I would say because you got to get younger assets and you really need help defensively. Really need it.
The two dudes they drafted.
One of the rare times that we've criticized a defense for not doing the job. That's usually dedicated to the offense, not doing the job. So I'll say fourth on that. The number four slot. Shay.
Yeah, you didn't have a choice of he signed somebody who didn't get arrested.
We turn now to Tiger Woods now, courtesy of the USA Network, as he speaks about his time at the Open. Shay, go ahead.
I'm done at the. I think I'm done at the Open.
We went to the. We went there professionally. You hear that setup? A pro setup. Bam.
We got nothing.
Go ahead, Shay.
Boys, what are your expectations for offensive coordinator Luke Getsy? Nervous about a first-time NFL play caller? The personnel isn't good enough, so it doesn't matter. Or he'll be the difference maker for Fields in the offense and earn a head coaching position.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to rule the last one out because he's got a lot to prove there.
Yeah, I can't tell you he's going to be a difference maker.
Well, now what about the other ones, though? Give it again, the first one.
First nervous. One was nervous about first-time NFL play caller. You are nervous about a first-time NFL play caller.
No.
The second one was personnel's not good enough, so it doesn't matter.
That bingo.
I am nervous about a first-time play caller, though. Yeah. I know what that looks like.
He's been part of a winning offense, though.
I don't like guys learning on the job in Chicago. I don't.
Well, then you don't like the hiring of Matt Eberflus. He's never been a head coach.
Well, no blank. I don't like the hiring of Eberflus. No blank. Well, no blank. You been on the show lately? You won't see Arn tonight.
Probably not. I'm not nervous about a first-time play caller. I'm not.
Aren't
not
you
at all.
We should be concerned, though. This is Justin Fields. This is your biggest asset. You don't want to break it. Because some guy doesn't know how to call the plays. Remember when Mike Tyson was calling the plays? Don't worry, I'll call the plays. Pizza roll 2, 431, square blue entree. Timeout, Chicago. Cutler's like, what the hell, man? Okay, I'll get the call in faster. Hold on a second. Smith Johnson 4, Cincinnati red on blue, on 4 break. Timeout, Chicago. Like, the time's would you... Someone say it faster. Moron. Tice. I'll call the plays around here. Don't worry about it. Pencil behind his ear with a laminated sheet.
Headset and the quarterback is cut off before the play even starts getting out.
Hey, here we go. Boston Tampa. 5-4-3 on the square. 2-4 in the pocket. On tree break. Timeout. Chicago. It's their final timeout. It's the first quarter. Tice. It's my first time calling plays. What do you expect there? Tice.
Blockhead. I'm not nervous. I'm just, the personnel's not good enough. It is what it is.
Van Dyer, 3-4-2. Yellow on the black, 4-3-7. On tree and break. Timeout, Chicago. Their final timeout. Come on! I'll read it faster next time.
All right, 312-332-3776.
You do recall this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Friday folder, next.
Take that.
It's where the biggest stars in country music share one stage. I'm talking about Country Thunder, Wisconsin. See my guy Hoodie up there. He loves that thing. Returning to Twin Lakes. July 21 through 24. Headliners. Morgan Wallen. That's your country music guy. Chris Young. Florida Georgia Line and Lee Rice. Plus, the always outstanding supporting cast will include... Not a country guy? Get four-day passes, single-day tickets, reserve seating, camping, glamping, and all the extras available. CountryThunder.com.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and J-Hood Show.
Hey, Folder, what?
It's unbelievable.
What?
You just want to get me...
Again, get your tickets.
Uh-huh.
CountryThunder.com.
Uh-huh.
Who do you sign autographs up there?
Oh, I'm sure. Hard for me to sign autographs when I'm running away.
Oh.
Being chased. What's the matter with you?
I thought you were a big country guy. Shay!
Fellas, let's get... I gotta just say, when he said, see my guy hoodie up there, I have lost it.
I mean...
I lost it back here. Yeah, that was a good one. All right, boys. No easy segue into this one, so I'm going to just get you going. We got to acknowledge the great Bob Parsons passed away.
Ah, Bob Parsons. Now, think about the great punters that we've seen in town. Maury Buford. Bob Parsons has to be in the top of that list,
Ray
right?
Ray Stackowitz.
Yes.
There were some good ones that came through here. Who was the guy we had for Pat O'Donnell?
Mm-hmm.
Very good punter.
Yeah, Brad Maynard. Sauerbun.
No, he was a jerk.
Chris Gardocki,
mm-hmm. Definitely.
But you remember Bob Parsons very well, don't you?
Very well. Mm-hmm. He was, I think, the most... If you look back at the numbers, he might have been the best punter in Bears history.
I think that is correct. Bob Parsons in the 72-83 did not get a ring with the 85 Bears. But I believe the first years of Ditka, I believe... That's the case?
He was the
first year?
I believe the first year of Ditka.
Mm-hmm. So rest in peace, Bob Parsons. We talk about one of the all-time greats. He is one of the all-time greats for the Bears.
There's no question about it.
Shay.
All right, boys. We have a man who survived 18 hours lost at sea by clinging to a nearly deflated ball. A real-life castaway. Except this guy held on to Wilson.
So an actual... Tom Hanks character. Okay, where did this take place?
Macedonia. A man from North Macedonia reportedly survived 18 hours lost at sea by clinging to a toy ball that floated towards him while trying to survive. Various Greek media outlets are reporting that the man, this is my favorite part, known only as Ivan, 30 years old, and a friend became caught in powerful currents over the weekend off the coast of Myrtle Beach in Cassandra, Greece.
Love Myrtle Beach.
Wow.
Love it. Great golf.
A different one.
Huh?
Different one.
Oh.
That's South Carolina.
Oh, I see. This is the Carol. This is the...
The Greek one.
The Greek islands.
Correct.
Wow. What would you do, Cap, with no phone and just a ball for 18 hours?
Lost at sea.
Lost at sea.
The top of your head would be red as a lobster.
Yeah, probably would.
Yeah.
I would freak.
Yeah. No communication, and you're just waiting for someone to come get you on a deserted island.
Like, if you had to pass the time, and you're stuck,
mm-hmm.
you're out on a deserted island.
Yeah.
Would you, like, do your own radio show talking to yourself?
Yeah, I want to keep my mind sharp.
You have to keep your mind sharp. Like, yeah. What would you do? You have no books to read. There's... Like, I couldn't just be deathly silent. I'd have to talk.
You'd start talking to that ball that you're holding on to. You would be Tom Hanks in Castaway.
With Wilson.
It'd be like Burgess Meredith in Twilight Zone. Finally, I get all my books. I'm by myself. I have all the books I need. And all of a sudden, his glasses fall and they break.
Correct.
Now he can't read all the books.
Can't see him.
Can't see him. Now he's alone with all the books and can't read them.
Torture.
That's got to be like, right?
Brutal. Brutal. Shay.
All right, we have a news anchor, Heather Kovar, CBS 6. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly where it is, but you have to take a listen to this broadcast she gave earlier this week, and you'll understand why we're talking about mm-hmm. this.
More than 50 million people across the country's southeast are under warnings for excessive heat. And boy, don't you know that? 105 degrees in Texas today. I just spoke with my mother. That's what she's dealing with. It's a major heat wave. And it is it's just hitting everywhere. We're so lucky. It's only 80 degrees here. We are really lucky here in the capital region. I mean, let me tell you about that. These areas are reaching such areas. I mean, it's Houston, Austin, San Antonio. I mean, they're not expected. It has happened. Like, you don't need us telling you that it's bad. It's like people are being told to, like, stay inside, drink a lot of water. And we are just lucky. This weekend right here is so amazing. Meteorologist Craig Adams is right here with you. Craig Adams. Why did I say that? Of course, clearly, like, here we're taking a live look over downtown Albany. And of course, just like me, meteorologist Craig Gold is working a double shift. And so he's in. And we've been tracking this. And, you know, we've been talking about just, like, what it's been like across the country and the different reasons that why it's so hot in other areas. And what we're having really nice weather here. So let's get over to Craig Gold. Hey,
yep.
Craig.
So, all right. Good evening, Heather.
That's the longest toss in the world.
Craig Gold was his name, by the way, not Craig Adams. She's been suspended under suspicion that she was blasted on the air.
Now, this is in Albany, New York, by the way. CBS Albany.
Wow.
What? Now, you see what, I mean, you saw her, the video, right, Cap?
Yes.
I mean, she was just going on and on. They played the music for the toss to the meteorologist, and she kept talking through it.
Her news director had to be in there. What? Crank the music up!
I mean,
she sounded like Cutler on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday.
Oh, wow! he was hammered, but he was funny.
He was having a good time. It was great. It was incredible radio. Cutler's the best guest, but that was a great hit yesterday afternoon.
So completely hammered, you think? Or she said it's exhaustion.
Pending an internal investigation, she's been suspended.
Okay.
Heather Kovar.
My God, they gave her the toss to go to the meteorologist, and she just kept talking. It's just so amazing. It's unbelievable. The weather's unbelievable. Like, hello? Hello? Throw it to the weatherman. What are you doing?
Brutal.
Something's wrong there.
Brutal.
Shay.
All right, last one very quickly. We have a DoorDash glitch. I'm not sure you saw this over the weekend, but the DoorDash app had an outage. People were able to order hundreds, thousands of dollars of free food. People took advantage of DoorDash's glitch, placed hundreds of orders for food, drinks, and even Plan B. And they got it all for free.
Wow.
you can get Plan B on DoorDash?
Plan B on DoorDash, apparently.
Really?
How
about that? I mean, can't you just go to the store and get your own Plan B? Can I have it delivered to you? Some people like to be a little discreet in that spot, don't they?
But we've closed the glitch. Correct?
Yes. I'm just saying that it's odd, right?
Very odd.
You're getting Plan B when you just go to the pharmacy? Or is it more discreet if it was just sent to you? Just put it on the porch.
Plan B, one step. There it is, 47-49 at Rite Aid.
Rite Aid! Here at ESPN New York.
It's also known as Levenorgestrel.
Yeah?
Something like that.
I wouldn't know what that is.
I'm imitating the lady from Albany. All right, Tracy Butler's coming in.
She's not drunk.
She's coming in hot! She's awesome. She'll give us the weekend weather because she really dropped the ball today.
Drunk?
Be right back.